Our scripture reading is from James chapter 2, the entire chapter, although our focus will just be on chapter 2, verse 17. But we'll read James chapter 2 in its entirety. Today we are in the fourth part of our little sermon series on why our church must, and the blank is always one of the five areas of ministry: why our church must worship, why our church must make disciples, why our church must fellowship today, why our church must show mercy, and the next week, why our church must be good stewards. And so today we want to consider the subject of mercy. And so our beginning place is chapter 2 of James. James chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down at my feet,' have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers. Has God not chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy, but mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm and be filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one. You do well. But even the demons believe and they shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God.' You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." Pray with me. Our God, be gracious to show us in your scriptures today what we are to believe and how we are to live as Christians in this world. And we thank you for the mercy of God that is ours in Christ Jesus, that has brought us from darkness to light, that has opened our eyes to see. And so we ask now, help us to see and hear and believe all that you have to say to us. May it be for our good and for your glory. And we pray it in his name. Amen. There are several stories in the Bible that give us examples of mercy. One that you may know well is the story of blind Bartimaeus. Jesus was entering Jericho, and there was a blind man, the son of Timaeus, who sat outside the walls or the gates entering the city. And as Jesus approached, blind Bartimaeus, who was a nuisance to all, kept calling out to Jesus, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me." And the people around told him to hush up, that Jesus had no time for him. But Jesus simply said, bring him to me. And when Bartimaeus was brought to Jesus, Jesus says, what is it that you want from me? And he said, I want to see. And Jesus said, go, your faith has made you well. And we read that Bartimaeus followed Jesus. There are other places in the Bible that teach us about mercy. You know well the story of the Good Samaritan, that a man was walking from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's a dusty, dirty, dangerous route. He was by himself, and he fell into the hands of thieves. Those thieves beat him up. They took everything from him and left him for dead. And it just happened that a priest making his way from Jerusalem to Jericho passed him by on the other side of the road. Wasn't going to involve himself in that situation. And then a Levite, the same thing, making his way from his religious duties in Jerusalem for a little time off at home until his next rotation of duties in the temple. He passes by this, what was probably a grotesque scene, on the other side of the road. But a Samaritan, an outsider, an outcast, a person of another race, a person of whom the Jewish people would not associate, stops and he binds up the wounds of this man. He takes care of him. He puts him on his own beast. He takes him to an inn where he cares for him. When he leaves, he asks that he be cared for and that the bill wait for him upon his return. And when the story is being told by Jesus to a Pharisee who wants to know what is the definition of neighbor, Jesus simply says to him, who was the neighbor in the story? And he says, it was the man in need. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. There's another story in the Gospels that speaks of mercy. It's the story of the unmerciful servant. He owed a king a year's worth of wages. And he goes before the king and says, please, O king, don't throw me in jail. Have mercy upon me. I'll pay you back somehow, some way. The king has mercy upon him, forgives his debts, and sends him on his way. Well, on his way, he finds a man who owes him just a day's wages. The man won't pay up, and so he has him thrown into debtor's prison. Well, the king hears about it. And he says to the man, I showed you mercy, but you show others no mercy. And so the moral of the story, so to speak, the purpose of these parables is that as Christians, we should be merciful. And you see in each situation, the call for mercy is different. There's one who's fell among thieves and been left for dead. There's one who's been blind for quite a while. There are those who are in debt and falling on hard times. There are all sorts of situations where we might have opportunity to show mercy. But the Bible teaches us that mercy is good. Mercy is something that God displays, and therefore we as Christians bearing his image ought to display mercy. The Apostle Paul says so well to Timothy in the first chapter of 1 Timothy, his letter to the young pastor, he says, God has shown mercy to me. I was formerly a blasphemer. I was formerly a persecutor of Christians, but God has shown me mercy. Well, these are examples from the scripture where mercy was needed and mercy was received. I'm sure you could recount stories to us all today of opportunities and times where you needed mercy and it was shown. Maybe your car was broken down on the side of the road, or a mother with young children needed an extra set of hands, or you fell on hard times and others came to your financial rescue. And on the stories of mercy needed and mercy received could be given. We could explore many other places in Scripture where we see wonderful examples of mercy being shown. But I want us to understand very simply today, whatever story or biblical place that we find it, that as a church, as a congregation, we need to think with eyes and hearts of mercy and compassion. And we need to do that in two places. One is inside the church, and the other is outside the church. Now, before we explain all of that, let us consider what James, the apostle, the half-brother of Jesus, says to us in James chapter 2, verse 17. He says to us that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. There's that faith, if it does not display itself, if it does not come to fruition in good works, it is dead, it is useless, it is unfruitful. Now we all understand, God willing, that we are justified by faith alone. We sang of that in our hymn after the confession of sin. No righteousness of mine can stand before the throne. The only righteousness that can stand before the throne of God is the righteousness of Jesus. And thanks be to God that that righteousness of Christ is ours by faith in Him. We understand that we are justified by faith alone. That our standing before God is in Jesus. It is not in our own works, our own efforts, or our accumulation of good deeds over bad deeds. No, our justification is simply rooted in the perfect obedience and righteousness of Jesus. But the point James is making is this. If a person is truly justified, that justified person will prove their justification by their good works. In a sense, he's saying, you want to prove that you're a Christian? Well, give me a list of your good works. Now, we understand this list of good works is not to say this is what justifies me before God. No, that's only Jesus that can do that. But our good works show that Jesus has put new birth in us. Jesus has made us new creations. We are no longer old man, sinful man, dead man. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. And as Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 2, it is by grace we have been saved through faith. It's a gift of God so that no one may boast. But it also says we are God's workmanship. And we have been created. We've been recreated in Christ Jesus for good works that were prepared for us before the world began. God has made us and redeemed us so that we might do good works. These good works never save us. Yes, they will be judged by God in heaven, will be rewarded according to our good works. But they don't save us. They just show that we are saved. So as a church, as a congregation in this community, would people say about us that we are a merciful church? Would they say that those folks at First Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church, they show their faith by their good works, and in their good works, they are indeed a merciful people? That's a good question for us. You see, a church full of faith, a church full of people who have faith in Jesus, will overflow with the fruit of good works. Now, those good works could be all kinds of things, not just mercy. It could be good works through teaching, good works through other forms of service. But for today's purposes, we want to consider the subject of mercy. But a good test of your personal faith, a good test of our corporate or our church faith is, do we do good works? Do we desire to serve others for the glory of God's name and for the good of our neighbor? If indeed we love God and love neighbor, it will be manifest in our lives and in our service. Well, what does that look like? What does showing mercy inside the church and outside the church look like? Well, just a couple of things for us to think about. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says that we should do good to others, especially to those outside the faith. Now, I remember this has, gosh, been 12 years ago. You know, preachers go to the back door after service and you hear this, that, and the other. Well, after preaching a sermon on Galatians 6:10, I think I caught the most grief ever. That's where my hair went. The fiery breath that came out of the person. They said, how dare you say that we should take care of the church first before we take care of others? You see, this person's natural bent, their natural inclination was that the church is to serve the world first. And for me to suggest, as the Bible suggested in Galatians 6:10, that we should take care of our own people first, was blasphemy. It was heresy. God said, you know, it's right there in the Bible. How can we neglect our own but take care of the world? It's a good way to have them think. But that's how we first ought to think about mercy. It's inside the church. And you think about all the needs that we have We have people who are sick, people who are facing surgery. We have people who are having ups and downs emotionally. People have gone through hardships with their children or their grandchildren. They've struggled with all sorts of things because of life in this fallen world. And we are a family. We are a church. We are a body. And when one of us suffers, we all suffer. When one of us hurts, we all hurt. When one of us loses, we all lose. When one of us mourns, we all mourn. We want to serve and be merciful and kind and gracious to one another. Think about the opportunities we've had in recent weeks to serve our sister Lynn Lamone. This week we have opportunity to serve Dick and Cindy Wright as Cindy faces hip surgery. Our brother Gene is moving to an apartment this week. We have all sorts of needs, and we can collectively take care of one another. Yes, we show mercy, and we do it inside the church. We meet one another's needs physically. Do you know that if one of us was without, that somehow, some way, we would meet that need? We would figure it out. We would pull our minds together. We would put our resources together, and we would figure out a way to make life work for one in our midst who was suffering. We would do that physically, but we do that spiritually as well. Our greatest need is Jesus. Our greatest need is to be rescued from sin. Our greatest need is to know that in Jesus He can make all things new. And so we show mercy inside the church, but we also show mercy outside. And we do that locally, and then we also do that on the foreign mission field. Now, what does it look like for us to show mercy outside the church? Well, it means that sometimes people come to us. In our congregation, our deacons, we are asked to meet a need. We had one just recently where someone had a need and we were able to meet it. We were able to show mercy. And sometimes we don't know if the story is true. Sometimes we don't know what has brought this person into this need of mercy. But we can show the love of Christ. We need to exercise wisdom and discretion and have a plan in place and all those things. But we can show mercy to those who are down and out and in need. We partner with many local ministries to show mercy. I made a list of them. Through the Gideons, we help place Bibles. Through Piedmont Rescue Mission, we help those who are in need. Through the Pregnancy Care Center, we provide emergency assistance for those who are distressed about an unplanned pregnancy. We house missionaries through the Siloam Missionary Homes. The Mitchell family is reaching the Muslim community in the southern United States. The Osbornes are helping us with short-term missions, both stateside and abroad. And you go on through the list of the Caring Kitchen or the West Links with international students, or David Springer at Elon and Campus Outreach, the Allied Churches. The list goes on and on, but we partner with others who can help serve our community. And then we can make the same list to reach or extend our reach out into the world. We work with World Witness, our denomination's missions agency. We've sent the Goodmans to Wales, the Olsons to Scotland, the Kings to Spain. We send some of you on short-term mission trips. And so we want to show mercy outside. And yes, it does mean meeting physical needs. But most especially, it means proclaiming the gospel, giving a cup of cold water in Jesus' name so that there's opportunity to speak of the hope of Jesus. It is one thing in this life to be hungry and be given bread. But as we all know, it is another thing to be given the bread of life, so that he who thirsts and drinks from the living water, or he who eats from Jesus the bread of heaven, will never ever be hungry or thirst again in a spiritual way, in a real and eternal way. And so we want to serve as a church in acts of mercy inside and outside. Now, I want you to think in this way. We want to have eyes that see and look for opportunities to be merciful. And we want to have hearts that are compassionate towards others in hardship. You know, we've become a self-centered, cold-hearted society. We see somebody in need and we say, oh, somebody else will take care of it. We see somebody in need and say, I wonder how they got in that sort of fix. We get a little high and mighty or self-sufficient and say, I made it, why can't they? And the gospel is a great reminder. It levels the playing field. And it says to us, young or old, rich or poor, whatever race or socioeconomic background, that before the eyes of God, we were all sinners. We were all in a wretched condition. We were all in need of mercy. And God in Christ has stooped down and reached into our lives and been merciful to us. And He's given us what we never would have looked for. He's given us what we never could have earned and never could have provided for ourselves. We have the divine mercy of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. And so, dear brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ, next time you see a need, remember that you've been there and that someone helped you. Let us pray together. Our gracious God, we thank you for the gospel. And we thank you for the richness of the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. And we do ask and pray that you would help us to have eyes to see needs and to meet them appropriately, individually, but especially together as a church. Make us merciful. Help us to look for needs and to meet them and to give relief to those who are under hardship. We think of Jesus, his life and his ministry, and how so often the Gospels say he looked, he had pity, and he felt compassion, and he acted in a way that helped people physically. But most importantly, it helped them spiritually, even to the saving of their soul unto salvation. Give us those sorts of eyes and that sort of heart and that sort of faith to do things that are right. May it show our good works, for we have been saved in Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing of God's goodness as we use hymn number 531, Satisfied.